Good morning.
Good morning.
Again, it is a good morning. As we always come together, we're glad to see everyone. We're thankful that we're able to see one and each one and be able to be here together. And that is a great joy. A great joy. I have a little thing to mention about that in my lesson this morning. The scripture we read, we only read part of what you need the whole story as it is of what they're actually talking about, but the example that was read in the scripture reading is exactly what we'd like to talk about this morning. Causes of spiritual failure. When I put a lesson together, my example is me. And as I mentioned so many times, we have our ups and downs as we go through this life because of the heavy, heavy temptations that come before us. And we know that we strive to overcome those things. And sometimes it takes a while for us to build ourselves up and to come out with the Word of God and to be able to encourage ourselves, to strengthen ourselves, and to live that life that Jesus Christ died for us, that we can obtain that life of eternity. Now, going back to the scripture that we read, and I'll kind of scan over it, there in Hebrews chapter 3, and I had you beginning in verse 12, but I would like to back up and just kind of scan over. Christ is superior, as the Bible, a note that here says, Christ is superior to the work that Moses had in his work. And the writer of Hebrews, through the Holy Spirit, brings these words to us. The Holy Spirit brought them to us through the writer. He says, Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. This one, Jesus Christ, is more in honor than all. He who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, and we refer back to the book of Psalms, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. We all know the outcome of the first ones that went through the wilderness. They stayed there. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not obey, so we see that they could not enter him because of unbelief. We need to put ourselves in this situation. If we turn against God, if we do not obey God, we become a spiritual failure. Because we have accepted God, we have accepted Jesus Christ and his promise and our redemption. But we do need to be aware of our disobedience or our failure to get into that. That's what we want to talk about a little bit this morning. Many fail because of unbelief. Since Christianity then is a system of faith, we talk about faith all of the time. What is faith? What is that faith that we talk about? In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not seen." Evidence of things not seen. We back that up with Romans 10:17. How do we get this faith? Well, faith comes by hearing. And what do we need to hear? We hear by the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. And it tells us how we should be. This shows us what we have faith in and the substance of the things that we hope for. The great glory of the things that we hope for, the great obedience that we need to have comes from these scriptures that are given to us. So the system of faith that we have, the hope that we have within God, it seems strange that anyone would disbelieve this. If we have that faith, what happens if we start disbelieving in some way? In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." Do we lose sight through our faith in what is promised to us, in our obedience that we need to continue on in? Perhaps another cause of unbelief, perhaps the unfaithful church member would resent any suggestion that he does not believe. Or one says he believes in God, but what kind of God do you believe in? If this is what's happening in your life. Through my life, and especially in my Christian life, I've had many people tell me, "Well, I believe in God," but they're not obeying, they're not doing anything that maybe, or mostly they're not doing anything that God has told us that we need to do. This is a common thing. "Well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ." But are you following his word? Are we following his word? This is not necessarily pointing at any of us, but these are things that go on in mankind that says, but yet they are not believing. Many fail because of unbelief, unbelieving in what God has told us and promised us. "Oh yeah, I know I have faith in that, but I used to use the thing, if somebody told you that all you have to do, now this is the word that comes to you, that if you drive over to St. Louis and a given place over there, and you will receive as a gift $1 million. Are you going to jump on that? Well, I don't know about that. I don't have faith in what that man says. I don't have faith. You hum-haw around about it and you don't go. Well, what good is the promise? What good is the promise that God gives us if we don't have faith in what he has told us and in believing? Another cause of unbelief is just simply that. "Well, I don't believe what was told. I don't believe the Bible." Honestly, is that the truth? Is it your comfort or your consolation or your guide, or is it not? Is the Bible reading a drudgery in your life? "Well, I'll do some Bible reading. I'll do this. And I'll read certain scriptures." and won't get the full meaning of the scripture that is given. That's one thing I have learned in my life. And this comes from a very, very early age. I'd hear my mom and dad talking, and or some of her relatives or whoever. They'd pull out one verse and say, boy, here's what you can't do because it says right here. Well, in my life, I have learned that you don't pull out. Back up just for a moment. I have said many times in my talks that you can find a verse in the Bible and prove anything you want to. It's not what God taught. You got to take the thing in its full accordance and understand it and learn to understand it and do that. So, Bible reading a drudgery, Bible study a drudgery to you. And here's something else that I always remember. In my younger days, and I go back farther than a lot of us, but it was a thing that had to be on a table somewhere in the house in the open, a Bible. That was a monument that had to be there. Because you believed in God. You believed in God. You maybe wasn't following His will and doing the things that He said, but that was a thing that had to be there. And on top of that, get ahead of myself a little bit here, but what was in that Bible? Well, we'll hit that in just a moment here. Is your Bible, is it a filing cabinet? Or is it a place to have our family history in it? Or is it soul cleaning, building piece of equipment? Which is it? Well, go back to that filing cabinet or the place for family history. That's the way it was. That's how it came to be that Bibles were made with this several pages right in the middle that you kept your records there. And I saw in my life with my aunt, my uncle passed away, and that's the only reference that she had to prove to who she was or what she was, because he died at a younger age and she had to get out and make a living for herself. But the only thing that would stand up was the record that she had in their Bible and showed the relationship and the ties and so on. So it was an important thing in those days. All of those things have pretty well faded away in our lifetime now, and we have other documents and things that prove what need to be proven. But is that of all the importance that it was? Or is it a soul-cleaning, building piece of equipment that we use? That's what it needs to be. Another cause of unbelief is, do you believe the passage on money? Worry, sorrow, prayer, church triumphant? Or do you believe it pays to serve the Lord? I'd like to touch just a moment. Do we understand the scriptures on money? And basically, there's not a whole lot on it. There's a lot of references toward money. But what it becomes in our life, that is our soul driving thing. It becomes the premier, paramount thing that in our life that we got to have more money, and it becomes our God. It can become our God, and I've made reference to that in with people that I worked with that were very religious, but yet any opportunity they had to make more money, to do something, they worked the overtime, every opportunity they could to take it. And so it becomes with someone really trying to build an empire for themselves or whatever, God is out of the picture most of the time. We have references of people that did not happen in their lives. But the thing about, and sorrow, the sorrow can come before us. But the same scripture that I wanted to read there in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. For some have strayed from this, for some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many, many sorrows. there's your sorrows that come about from all of these things. And we understand prayer, the church triumphant, and all of these things. But I want to read to you in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, to show us it pays not to worship something else or let these other things come over us, but turn to the Lord, turn to the Lord. In Ephesians it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask of or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." There's where we get our strength. There's where we get our determination to serve the Lord, and as he has asked, simply follow his will, follow his rule. A love of the world has caused many to fail. I think we can all understand that. And we live in a world that there are so many opportunities and fun things to do, enjoyable things to do, or enjoyable things to achieve, and we can let those things overcome us. In Luke 8:14 it says, "And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth. But they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money and riches and our own desires that are not godly. We can, and I come down to ourselves. We have so many desires. We fall to sicknesses. We fall to all kinds of trials, and we let those things overcome us. And we say we don't forget God, but we do. We don't forget him, but yet we don't obey him. We don't continue to stand for the truth, support the truth, and be here and support all things that are need to be to uphold the will of Christ, uphold the word of the Lord, and to spread the gospel as it would be, and being a part of that church, that body, this body which God has set forth for us. Now, I'm not pointing fingers. Again, I will say, in my lifetime, the ups and downs and the problems that come along in our lives sure are heavy temptations so many times. But you don't ever want to say, "Well, I just throw up my hands and I'm going to quit," or "They don't need me there," or this or that or the other. I've never understood that word, "they." I am a part of "they." I am "they." And so I have my part to play in my Christian life, in the building of the church. Who's the problem with this? The devil. Do we think while trying to be a Christian we can hold on to the world and our own ideas of how we can do things and forget about the Lord? No. You ever hear this? "Well, I don't think there's any harm in doing that." In everything that exists in his world, we could say that. The answer we receive when we're confronted with questionable things is, "Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with me going and doing this or that or the other? Really no problem. Or nobody will see me there." Well, I'll guarantee you one thing. I've been to a lot of places in my life, thousands of miles away from here, and guess who I run into the very first thing? Somebody I worked with. Or one time, it was a preacher. We just had probably a month before I met him there, far away from here. I thought, man, oh, man. One of the best I ever heard was a guy I worked with. I was telling him about running into somebody in Florida that I worked with or whatever. He says, I got one that betters that. He said, he and his wife took a vacation to Hawaii. And we was getting off the plane, and here come another guy from Laclede getting ready to board to come home. I said, that's a topper. But we don't know the example that we set. Somebody is going to recognize us, or somebody that we don't know will see the example that we're setting in the way we act, in all kinds of things that we appear. So if we strive to do that which is good and be the Christian that God has made possible for us, it's good. I wanted to say this. Well, I did. A feeling of self-sufficiency is sometimes the cause of our spiritual failure. You understand what I'm saying? I've been in church, man, I'm doing all of this and I'm doing all of that, and I'm doing all right. In other words, we reach a level and we think we can cut her off right there because we've got it made. We never have it made. We've never had it made till the Lord calls us home. When things go well, we feel we can paddle our own canoe. In Revelation, I'd like to read this one verse, or two verse, three or four verses. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans I write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, that he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Those are direct words that God himself, through the Holy Spirit, gave us. Think about them always in our lives. It's better to sing the song, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord, I need thee every hour. Another thing that enters into our minds and our hearts and our lives is the fear of man. What they're going to say. You know, King Saul failed in this respect. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence unto God. Pure Christianity is unpopular with the world. We are not of the world. So yes, it's going to be unpopular. We're going to be those weirdos. We're going to be those strangers, which God says we are. Some fear that we'll not be popular with the world, or with the families, with the prestige that we might have, the material gain that we're striving to get. However, in John 12, verse 42 and 43, it says, however, even many of the Jewish leaders believed him to be the Messiah, but wouldn't admit it. They wouldn't admit to anyone because of their fear that the Pharisees would excommunicate them from the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And do we have that confidence in God that he will do what he says? All of the promise from the very beginning of time, we read the great promises of God that he gave to his people, those that would obey. And of course, that came into the New Testament and the promises that he made to all mankind. And that promise does not stop. Did not stop there. It didn't stop today. And it will not stop till the Lord calls us on home. Psalms 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to take refuge in him than in the mightiest king. So how can we do? How can and do we fail? Old Brother Stouffer used to say, you point a finger out there somewhere and you got four more pointing back at me. And that's what I continue to set on you. This lesson built on me, around me. But I also know that that's the way life is for many of us, that we have to strive in our lives to overcome. So, how can we do, how can and do we fail? Well, for lack of attentiveness toward God, our attention turns to ourselves, our own problems. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. God will forgive me. Being overcome by our own desires, by misguided love of the brethren. If there were only three of us walk through that door, what is our response? If that happened this morning, what would be our response? Well, we would have concern. We should have concern. Yes, but also, this is something Tim told me here a few weeks ago. If only they were two or three come through that door, that would be great joy. Knowing we are here to worship God, what a great privilege and a joy that is to the hearts of one that are here. And what a great joy that is that we're worshiping God and striving to do that which we want to do, what we need to do. So, I want to go back for my following thoughts. I wrote this out and referred to the song that Tim sang for us, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. Read this well. Sink it into your hearts. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. All of earth and nature were made at His command. Everything, the blessings that we have, our innards and those little molecules, how they all work. They were put there by His command. They were created there by His command. Let us all, as we believe in God, let our praises ring. Let our praises be given to Jehovah and His name alone is high, and His glory is exalted far beyond the earth and sky. To that heavenly residence of our Father, who has made all things possible for us to inherit that wonderful home for eternity as we abide in Him. What a great joy, what a great promise, what great thoughts those are that we carry with us. We should never lose sight of those things because we are in God's hands. We are to obey God. And many things we talk about, we don't understand the outcome or how God will judge that. But remember this, they are in God's hands. They are in God's hands. And that judgment is up to Him. I hope this lesson has helped me much. And every time I think about things like this, I strive to overcome them. And I do strive. I do overcome them. Or else I wouldn't be here today. I would have given up. And there's only two choices that I have just made if I do that. One is heaven or one is hell through the devil. I let the devil become my king and I follow him and his teachings. And I'll guarantee you, he never leaves your side. He's waiting. And he'll jump in with all four feet, as we say. So let us consider this as we come to you this morning. As Christians, I hope it's been beneficial to you and encouraging, and encourage you in your life to not forget about God and don't turn your back upon Him. And many times we say we're not. But when we don't abide in His will and do His will, we have turned our back upon God. Don't do that. I hope it encourages us all as we think about and understand these things. And if you have not become a Christian today, as of this day, remember this, that everything I said is a part of being a Christian. And looking to Him for guidance, looking to Him for learning and guidance through His holy will, as we continue to study and study and study. Brother Dale and I had a few words this morning that talked about, when do you stop learning? Well, you've heard me say it 100 times, and you'll hear it again. You don't never stop learning. And you don't never stop getting things straightened out by studying more. I, in my lifetime, through some of my early hearings of supposedly religious people taught, they had ideas. They had ideas. And I remember those things. But I also have learned through my life that they were misconstrued, making something out of something that the Bible did not say. And that is sad. And we have to be aware of that. So becoming a Christian is a continual learning, understanding that Jesus Christ died for us through the will of God and given us complete redemption. If in our heart we repent of the life that we were living and strive to live that life which is through Jesus Christ our Lord for God. Now is the time. And for all of us that maybe have slipped back a little bit and go through these problems, I hope it's been encouraging to you. And if any time you need to pray to God about it, you can do it with us. Or really, I find the best thing to do is do some praying at home, full time. And you'll be able to overcome these problems. I hope I've made a little bit of sense to you, and I hope we can all benefit by it. So for any way we can help in your understanding, talk to us. Talk to me or talk to any of the brethren here. Talk together. Study together. That is the answer. Understanding what God has told us. And if we can help in any other way, you want to become a Christian or come forward and have us to pray with you, let that be known. As together we stand and sing.